All right. Good morning, everyone. It's April 3rd at 9:03 a.m. The meeting for the Curriculum and Testing Committee will now come to order. So we'll begin our meeting with the roll call and review of any absences of committee members. So let me run the list. Louis Havens.
Here.
Sam Bauckham.
Here.
Daniel DeYeer.
Here.
Chuck French.
Here.
Chris Watson.
Here.
Buddy Rice.
Here.
And our new members. Make sure I got the right list in front of me. I got so many papers here. Dustin Brown.
Here.
Jacob Smith.
Here.
And Richard Giusti.
Here.
Okay, did I miss anybody?
Missed me. Doug.
Doug Mathajet, sorry, how did I miss you? Okay, we do have one absent member, Deisha Turner. She had sent an email earlier stating that she would not be able to make it. She's in Law Enforcement Academy and could not get an excuse to get out of the academy. So need a motion from someone to approve her as an excused absence.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Louis, second by Chuck. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll log her as an excused absence. Okay, next on the agenda is our approval of our committee meeting minutes from January 29th. Has everyone had a chance to look over the meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as published.
Okay, we have a motion from Louis.
I'll second.
Okay, second.
Buddy.
From?
Buddy.
Buddy, okay. All right, all in favor of accepting the motion, the minutes of last meeting as submitted, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries, so we'll sign the document for you and get that recorded. Okay, item three, discussion and possible action on TEKS courses. And I believe this has to do with the infamous A and B list. Is that correct? So who wants to make a kind of a presentation? I think we looked at a list yesterday. Is that something we can call up again for committee members to just take one last peek at?
I thought there was a little more work to do on that, or is it just a live list?
Well, this one's only, from my understanding, this was only addressing the TEKS courses that have been updated or combined. It does not address the other A and B courses, such as National Fire Academy offerings or consortium offerings or any of the other courses that may constitute an A list or a B list category. So this is strictly talking about the current set of TEKS courses. And as always, I mean, everything's always in flux. We're going to have to revisit this down the road and update it as necessary.
Was one of the things that we talked about yesterday was kind of approving the current list, but also the ones that would take some of the other courses that we'd extend those courses on for about 12 years or so, something like
yes.
that. That way people could still utilize those for going for different certifications for that. Would it make sense for us to make a motion to have those lists or have those courses extend to 12 years that are on the list and then and make a motion of doing something like that?
I think we will probably need, if y'all want a time limit on it, which I was discussed, I do think that's important. The question is, there were several numbers that were thrown out yesterday. I heard 3 years, I heard 5 years, and I heard 12 years.
Yeah.
So you would just need to decide which one you want to put in your motion.
The problem is with timeframe, who's going to be in charge of monitoring that? Would it be staff, or who's going to monitor the 12-year mark that we go through it, or should it be a kind of an annual audit to see if these courses are still what they're advertised as? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Or is it just going to be a live list as we made aware course change? We'll address it then.
So another way to do it would be, instead of putting a firm date that has to be checked on every year, another way to do it is just to say that they're there in perpetuity until staff comes back and says, can we take these courses off? And then that way we don't have to go and look at it every year. And they'll have a better indication of whether the course is being used or not. And they can kind of keep an informal track. And if it hadn't been used in a couple of years, they can come back and say, is it okay if we delete this course? We haven't seen any activity on it in X number of months, years, whatever the case may be. And then we could say, yes, that would be appropriate. So that
I like that idea, because then you could also, with some of the subcommittees, when you see some of those, they could actually research it to see if it's still pertinent or conflicts with current standards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would it help to include the date in which the class was changed or archived, so that we have kind of an idea how far back it was?
So let me make sure I'm clear in your question. When you say that it was changed or archived, and we'll use the TEKS course since that's what's on the screen right now.
Yeah.
Are you talking about their date that they changed or archived, or are you talking about the TCFP date that we changed or
archived? Their date that they changed or archived it. That way we have kind of a running timeline. In other words, if we revisit it in 3 years, then maybe that weighs in on whether we keep it or not, because if somebody's still working towards that 4-year threshold or that 8-year threshold, it might weigh in on whether we delete it off the list or not. But if that one's 10 or 12 years old and we haven't seen any action with that particular title in 3 or 4 years, maybe it's time to drop it.
So I'll have to defer to staff. Is that something that could be noted?
Just at the end of the title?
I think we could note something. It might be on a separate list that we post from the website, but we could definitely keep that on record.
Okay. Would it be easier? All right, I know this has been vetted, what we're looking at on the screen today, and we could take action on that today and probably should. However, if we went through, did an audit of the remainder of the classes on these A and B lists and see what was there and come back, and then in the title, this list was vetted April of 2025 or whatever, just as a caveat that list was, all the courses that are on the list as April 2025 would be, they're still good. So I don't know.
So like also do like a yearly review or something like that?
Well, I don't know about yearly review, but as if a year from now somebody comes up and a course change, then okay, so obviously the A and B list changed in April of 2026, even though it's just one item, you know, but anytime the document was amended, and then in the background you'd say this is amended because of course no longer exists or whatever. You don't have to be on the website, but the list is good as of this date. But I mean, do these changes, but y'all said there's a lot of NFA courses on there we don't know still exist or don't exist or whatever, so that's my thought.
Well, but even if they don't exist, a firefighter could turn in paperwork with an old class that they attended 7 years ago. And so you would still need that list to verify that old class. Even if the name changed, if they took it 7 years ago, I would think staff would want that old list to verify that that.
And that's why I wonder why we even remove them from the list.
That's the point I'm making.
10 years do an audit.
Yeah, it could be a career thing, because just because you get to your 8-year threshold, you may be still short a class, and it takes you another 6 to 9 months to get into that thing.
Yeah.
So
I don't think we need to remove anything.
Just a running list of old classes that are still acceptable to submit.
I would say that with the list of classes, kind of like what we talked about before. For instance, if we have our hazmat subcommittee going over hazmat or structure or anything else like that, when they're going over some of that stuff, part of that is actually taking a look at those ones that are still relevant. It's a little bit hard unless you're actually comparing the curriculum and the research and everything else to see what applies. And for us to say this is good or not good on any of those things, I think it needs to be have a little bit more research on that. And then obviously you keep those on there until they're like, okay, this doesn't apply to us anymore. For instance, we were doing rope rescue, and back in the day we were using anything other than Kern mantle or like twisted type rope, and then it's a matter of, okay, we don't want to accept things like that anymore.
Right.
Okay, that's not a standard practice, and that could get someone hurt. And so I would say that having those subcommittees take a look at those that are related to them would be an important concept of that.
But if that firefighter took that class back then and it was relevant whenever they took it, doesn't that still count towards their...
I think there needs to be a time limit. I mean, what if it's 20 years?
Well, I don't think there's a time limit on that right now as far as TCFP rules go.
Okay.
For professional development, there's no rule on expiration. Every other training we do, though, does have an expiration date.
Well, but that's for certification programs, right? That's not for the advanced certification. I don't know that there's an expiration on any of those classes. No, forgetting your intermediate or advanced certification.
I just think that if I'm doing an advanced certification right now, right, and I'm applying something that is not part of the industry standard now, do we really want to have that? Or, I mean, I know they've done the class a long time ago, but you're counting that something that doesn't pertain anymore to be a master firefighter. It kind of deletes the master firefighter thing and the credibility of it.
So if you look at the sheet that we have presented to us up here, and I have it on my computer here, so the old courses, so if you look at line 2, the very first one is disaster medical specialist, TNG 3OS, right? And that number is changing, correct? When we present a motion on the table, that is what we're voting for, right? So if we had firefighters across the state that attended this old course under this old course number, and we vote for the change of the class to the new course number, will the old course number still be accepted? If at a later time a firefighter comes in and wants to utilize that A-list course for advanced firefighter an advancement in the firefighter with their firefighter certification.
As far as I can tell from what's been going on in the past, it would stay for a time and then it would fall off.
Bless you.
But
thank you.
That seems like that's what we're discussing right now, if we're going to continue that practice or just...
So, in essence, while your notes say there was some changes, it really doesn't matter that it changed if you're going to accept the old courses. What matters is that you're willing to accept the new courses. So you would retain the old courses, and you would just keep adding to that list until the old courses just by attrition phase out, and then that's when you guys could come back and say, hey, nobody's using these anymore. Can we take them off the list to keep the list a little more updated.
And I'm sure that is something that we could get IT to run a report on for when the last time a certain course was used and applied for. And we could probably make all of the new ones separate in the FIDO system. That way it just makes it easier to track.
But as far as what a firefighter seeking advanced certifications would see on the website, he or she would see all of them.
Not
that one replaced the old one.
Yeah. How it is right now, so let's say that top one, that medical.
Disaster medical specialist.
How that would look in the system as practices right now is you would have one disaster, which is the old course ID, and then you would have right underneath it, also known as this course ID, or if it's an actual name change, we would note that in the system. That way, we still can accept both.
Right.
And then as it fades out, then yeah, we can still do that.
Okay.
Come back to you once it's done.
I thought, based on what you two were saying, so if a guy takes that course 20 years ago and immediately puts it in his FIDO, even though he's not going to use it to advance, versus the guy that waits 20 years and decides he wants to advance and then tries to upload it and it's no longer on the A-list anymore and he can't use it, so they both used the same, or tried to use the same training, but one guy got to use it and one guy didn't. Is that an issue?
You can pretty much bet that most firefighters don't update their courses as they take them.
Right.
They only update them when
as needed.
They're like, oh, I need to update this.
Right.
So,
on the college level, I know that when you haven't gone to your basic English classes or advanced classes or anything else like that, after a time, if you have not gotten your degree, for if you finish your degree, you got your degree. But if you haven't got your degree, guess what? You got to retake those classes now.
Yeah.
So, for professional standards, when it comes to like colleges and so forth, there's a time limit on those things. And it's meant so that the new programs, as they start to come forward, are relevant on that time. And then people that are taking those courses now can be relevant or have the skills and knowledge necessary to proceed forward with those different sort of things. This has been a little bit different, and I know that. Like I said, I'm good either way because I don't want to hurt anyone, you know, trying to advance their skills and everything else. But I've also seen the other side of it to where you have different certifications that I don't want it to become a joke either.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's like, oh, you could have taken this class 30 years ago and we apply this and we apply this and we makeshift this and then, hey, I got my master firefighter. And so what does that really mean then?
So the advanced levels of certification are not a prescribed plan. It's the whole intent. When you go back when this whole thing started, was to advance a person within the profession by expanding their knowledge base or their skill base throughout their career in whatever field they or whatever area they choose, whether it's rescue or investigator, whatever it may be. The agency doesn't prescribe that you have to have a certain number in a category or they have to be certain. It's more just about what are you doing to better yourself as a professional firefighter. And that won't change regardless of how old the course was, because whenever you took it, you were doing what was intended to do, and that was to better yourself by taking the course, even if it was 15 years ago. You bettered yourself. Yeah, it was 15 years ago, and it may not be current knowledge today, but it was then. So I guess I don't want to overcomplicate this, and I don't want to take away where we make it so tight that people have to do certain things in order to qualify to move up. Because I don't think that was ever the intention of this rule or this opportunity. It was more broad-based, and I think if we can keep it broad-based and not tie down you guys with a lot of legwork on keeping track of stuff, then I think we're accomplishing what we set out to do. So.
agree.
Anybody else?
I mean, I agree. I mean, as far as whether or not the course is still relevant or not, you know, I went to the fire academy over 30 years ago. It's changed since then, but I'm still a firefighter. And I don't have to go back through it every 5 or 10 years to be recertified as a firefighter.
Exactly.
So I don't know why somebody going through a medical specialist course or a hazmat course would necessarily be penalized because they did it 10 or 15 years ago versus doing it last week. One of the things we don't want to do is we don't want to throw an undue burden on the individual or their employers on having to constantly, I say constantly, but on a regular basis, send them through a certification course to be recertified or deemed competent in that field. It's one thing to require CE hours, and most of these classes were used exactly for that as CE hours somewhere along the way. So I really don't see the problem in you used the example of a college degree. So whenever you go to get your master certificate, for whichever certification it is, whether it's firefighter, investigator, inspector, instructor, what have you have to have 60 college hours, 18 of which have to be in the field of fire science, or an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. And, of course, you have a master's or higher as well. But, I mean, that's the requirement. It doesn't say when you took all those college classes. It doesn't say when you earned that associate's degree. So it's I think we should treat these courses the same way. I think they should be allowed to sit there in perpetuity or until they become so stagnant that nobody's using them anymore.
I think another good example would be NIMS. Nobody's knocking down the door to redo 300, 400. Everybody here is saying that's a valid course, even though they took it 20 years ago or whatever, you know. So I think leaving them on the list is the right way to go. They did the time put in the effort for that class with an intent that it was to better them and promote their certification as well.
And I will say there actually have been times where a NIMS course has been denied due to age for HOD purposes. When they were going to check them, it was just such an old course. It was nowhere near relevant to what the NIMS courses are now. That's as much as that as I can tell you.
Okay, let's get focused back on how the agenda is worded, and it's discussion and possible action on TEKS courses, and we're... I think the discussion was good, and it is somewhat related to this, but in order to keep the meeting moving, we need to make a decision about what's up on the screen in front of you with these courses from TEKS.
Pat, I'd like to make a motion we add the new courses and leave the old courses in place, but add the new amended course on the list.
Second.
Yep.
Okay. Motion by Buddy, second by Sam. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. There we have it. All right. Our next two agenda items refer to review of applications submitted for memberships on the Hazardous Materials Ad Hoc Committee and the Structure Ad Hoc Committee. We are going to address those agenda items during our closed executive session here in just a little bit. So we'll move on then to item number six, discussion and possible action on chair and liaison for the Marine Ad Hoc Committee. And I would just ask Louis to just give us a kind of a brief recap of the situation with Marine that you shared with us yesterday during the workshop.
So we selected a Marine committee at our last meeting. Those individuals have been notified, I believe. We're in the process of trying to set up a meet date. I've agreed to come in and help get the program started. And Doug Mathajets has agreed to act as a liaison between this committee and that committee, or that ad hoc committee, as it goes through the process. As far as the chair goes, the chair was
Robin McGill.
Who?
Robin McGill.
Robin McGill from Corpus Christi. That's who we decided would be probably the best person to put at the helm. That way he could work and liaise directly with Doug on a regular basis.
Nice pun with the helm. I like that. In the Marine. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's about it. I mean, they're in the initial stages of forming up the committee. We got to work on getting textbooks in so that we'll have current reference material to review through the process. And then, of course, with the recodification of NFPA standards, there's going to be some changes and deviations that we're going to have to address as we go through the process. The current curriculum that we have is, I'll be kind to say, several years old. It does need to be updated, and we do need to do some work on how it's going to be presented in the future.
Okay. All right, so to sum that up, one of the applicants on the committee, Robin McGill, will serve as the chair of that committee with support, initial support from our committee member, Louis Havens, and continued support from our member, Doug Mathajets. So that's what we'll do. So do we need to do a notification to Robin? Is that something I may need to send out?
Yeah,
just to let him know.
Get an email out.
Okay.
You want to do it the same way that we have been doing it for the acceptance letters?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Just to make sure we get that as a motion to make him chair.
Sure, we can. If somebody will submit that as a motion,
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Louis to appoint Robin McGill as the chair, and second by Doug.
Right.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, very good. So you and I will work together and get a little notice out to him. Okay? Do we have a date for their next meeting?
No.
We do.
And the reason I'm asking is we probably need to send it to all the members to let them know how this is, how the parties involved are going to work with their group.
Their initial meeting is scheduled for April 17th.
Oh, so right around the corner then. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we need to get on that pretty quick. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Okay. Item number seven, discussion and possible action on Texas Administrative Code Rule 421.3, minimum standards set by the Fire Commission. Someone want to fill us in on what that rule is? Addressed, I believe, with some kind of definitions. Is that right?
I can do this.
Okay.
It's just, this is a rule to add the competency and qualifications for rope rescue awareness and operations and technician. So you'll, one motion, one update to the rule, but there is technically two rules in there. So one for the awareness and ops, and it does specify what they, what we're expecting them to be able to do at that competency level, and the same for technician.
And I believe that was drafted during the workshop yesterday. Is that correct?
Correct.
I don't have the, any of that in front of me.
Okay, we think we have it on the screen.
Okay.
Here.
Does that need to be one motion or two motions?
One motion. One update to the rule. Same rule.
So you're looking, we're looking for a motion to accept the proposed changes to 421.3 for rope rescue awareness and operations.
And technicians.
And technicians.
I move that we accept the draft amendments to 421.3 for rope rescue awareness and operations and rope rescue technician.
Second.
Second by Chris. Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Very good. Thank y'all yesterday for helping to draft that up. It looks good. All right. Item 8, discussion and possible action on curriculum development guide. During the workshop, we talked about some work that was submitted by a former Technical Rescue Committee member, DJ Walker, and there was also some mention of some work done by previous staff. I don't recall that we actually looked at any of those documents. Is that correct?
We didn't. I know Richard, Chris, and Chuck offered to look at those and kind of merge them. I'm going to send all those documents out to you three, and then y'all can see what needs to be done with those so they can be reviewed later.
Okay. So we'll not take any action on that today, but we should include it on our next meeting agenda.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. Very good.
So we should get a motion to table that one until the next meeting.
Motion to table.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Louie, second by Chuck to table that till our next meeting. And thank you, Richard, Chris, and Chuck for agreeing to help draft up a sample of that for us to look at. Okay, agenda item number 9, discussion and possible action on committee expectations guide. This is something that we did look at yesterday, and we made some modifications to it. And we kind of came up with two versions, although they're really similar, but they're directed at two different groups. One is an expectations guide for our committee as we sit here, and the other is an expectations guide for those who serve on our subcommittee, our ad hoc committees working on specific curriculum. I believe the wording was pretty much mirrored in each one. It was just titling it correctly. So does anyone have any discussion on that or thoughts?
I'd like to make a motion we adopt that.
Okay, who?
Buddy.
Okay, motion by Buddy. Okay. Any second?
Second.
Jacob.
Okay, second by Jacob Smith. Okay, any discussion?
Mr. Chair, do we need to amend that to include the ad hoc committee members as well?
I thought that's what it was.
Or is that the motion on the table?
We have a second version for the ad hoc one.
Yeah, okay. All right, for the curriculum and testing and ad hoc.
Yes.
As presented.
So the motion is
two documents.
Is to cover two documents.
Okay.
What you're seeing is the first of the two documents.
There you go. There's the ad hoc. Good.
Yeah. Like I said, the wording is the same except they're titled.
So we changed this in the curriculum and testing one said commission versus C&T for the ad hoc.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions? Okay. So we have a motion on the table. All approving, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now, just for clarification, that's an internal document. That's not something that's that doesn't go to the rule book or anything like that. That's more just an operating guide for committees. So.
Correct.
Okay. I just, those who may be listening, I want them to not be looking for it in a standards manual anywhere. Okay. All right. Item number 10, discussion and possible action related to Fire Investigator 921 updates. So I was thinking either, Buddy, do you have anything on that or staff?
I'm on Trey. Can you give that report for that?
So this is the documents that y'all originally looked at in November and sent back to committee for revision. They have made the requested changes on the curriculum and the skills manuals, and we went over them yesterday. Dan and I have been working on making some of the smaller format changes that were requested. But other than that, unless there were any other issues that y'all wanted to address, anything you have?
Which one?
I make the motion that we approve the curriculum package as reviewed yesterday, and that we pass it along to the commission for adoption.
Second.
So I want to make sure that this is the right place to do that. The agenda item just refers to 921 updates, but we looked at the entire chapter for fire investigators. So
it's because the 1033 didn't change. The changes that were made were just for
just 921. In 921. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that we were not stepping out of bounds on what we're supposed to be doing. Okay. So we have a motion from Louie, and our second was
Chuck.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? I know it took us a while, and we're very appreciative to the committee members who worked on that to go through line by line and make those changes. Generally speaking, I don't think it changed content-wise a lot. I think there was a lot more wording changes and just updating. So just to let the folks know, don't look for a significant change in the investigator curriculum from what they've been doing in the past. All right. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, too easy. Okay. All right. Item 11, discussion and possible action related to Incident Safety Officer 1550 updates. So anyone want to share some information on that?
As I shared yesterday, we do have the correlation sheets, the new correlation sheets from IFSAC for the 1550 update, and there also is a new book from J&B. They're updated to the fourth edition, so that will need to be incorporated into our test banks.
And those are the ones that we're requesting to get copies of?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. So, in essence, there is no real action for us to take on this today, correct?
Unless you want to do an ad hoc for that, the work ahead.
I think maybe once we get the books and we know exactly what we have to work with, we can move forward, put that on a future agenda to look at again. And
okay, that sounds good.
I'll make a motion to table then.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion to table and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item 12. Discussion and possible action related to curriculum matters, including but not limited to reference materials, outlines, instructor information, equipment list, modifications, NFPA standards, correlation, objective, and skill sheets for, and there's a whole list. We'll go through them one by one. First one is basic fire suppression. Anything we need to address there?
I don't think so. We'll be getting that new committee put together today, and so we'll get their charge to start getting those updates. We'll be back with you on that as soon as we can.
Okay. Next on the list is basic aircraft rescue fire suppression.
So we're at the point of getting the new book. It's finally out. And with that, we'll be able to go back and vet that everything in the curriculum can be found in the book, as well as that the test bank is still valid from the book. And then from there, we'll need to just look to see if there are any other test questions that need to be created. The rest of the curriculum and skills have been reviewed and updated to the 1010 version.
Okay. Any additional information on basic marine other than what we talked about in an earlier agenda item?
No, that's that pretty much covered everything in the earlier item.
Okay. Next one, inspector, fire inspector. Anybody got anything there?
The fire inspector, we're finalizing combining the fire inspector 1 and fire inspector 2 as a result of the consolidation. We're at a crossroads trying to figure out. Initially, this group said we want to go forward with the first responder inspector, which is the smaller certification. When we got in committee, we knowing that commission only wanted to have new certifications so often, we kind of backed off of that a little bit. But after revisiting, talking, and some, I think, I want to know, us as a group, do we want to package that all as one? It wouldn't take much for our group to get back together and finalize the first responder inspector. I think because of the consolidation, we probably will get a lot of questions if we don't bring it forward at the same time as everything else. Some of the hesitation with the new, as we were talking this morning, the hesitation is because of the grandfathering period. Well, the first responder inspector wouldn't, I don't know how you could have a grandfathering period because there's I don't know what courses you, it's such a basic inspector course. I don't foresee you needing a grandfathering period at all. Typically, grandfathering is to have somebody be able to teach you, but we have that in the, we could require just the regular fire inspector to do the teaching of the first responder inspector. So I guess we probably were on target to bring just the fire inspector to our next meeting and then be able to decide whether we wanted to move forward to the commission. But, and we still may be able to do that, but should we include the first responder inspector is what I want to ask this group. I think it'll be because of the consolidation, and it is the reason we did all these changes in the first place. I think it'd be a cleaner thing to include the first responder inspector myself.
The problem I see, buddy, is I don't think we're in a big hurry to adopt that first responder inspector. I mean, staff still has to develop rules, definitions, all that stuff for the standards manual and for the curriculum manual. We also have to think about, as we're adopting it, how we're going to implement it, okay? So we've got to have time for, like I said, for all the rules and everything to be developed. And then when's going to be the implementation date? And then, like you said, how are we going to, or are we going to have a grandfather period? I think there's still some discussion that needs to be had at a future meeting about scope, what's going to be their scope of practice, how they're going to be implemented. And I think that's going to be an ongoing discussion probably between us and the advisory committee, so that whenever we do present it to the commission, that we have all that stuff packaged up in one package for them to review and accept or reject.
Well, the document, NFPA document, really, it done pretty decent job in defining the scope of what that inspector is allowed to do. But obviously, we need some interpretation on that as well.
If this helps at all, from my understanding, because it would be a new certification and a new rule, that would not take one commission meeting like a regular curriculum update would take. It's going to take several. And it's more than likely going to get sent to advisory for a time and then come back. So I wouldn't worry too much about packaging those up together because they're not going to get passed together.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And it may be more prudent to finish the charges of that committee for the inspector and then plans, and that way maybe redo a new committee for just that first responder inspector. But that is completely up to you guys at that point.
So the
well, I think the current committee could handle both.
I don't know, buddy, but you think y'all be able to use questions from the inspector program and skills from the inspector program?
I would think so. Yeah, it's
so you're not having to reinvent the wheel or anything.
No. It's the rules probably going to be the biggest hurdle. Trying to decide where to place that person is going to be the biggest hurdle, and everybody agree on that. And what is an inspection and what is not? We've all been down that road before, so that's probably going to be the biggest hurdle as far as the course and content. That's going to be the easy part. It's going to be the rule, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the instructor committee can knock that out in a fairly timely manner. It's just we got to catch up with the bureaucracy.
But just so you know, this group needs to know there's a lot of discussion on the first responder inspector and where we're going with it and all that. So, I mean, even in my little world, I get it all the time. So, anyway, that's where we're at with it. So it'll be coming shortly thereafter that, but we will need to address this at some point.
So, buddy, when you say there's a lot of discussion and questions, are you talking about within your committee, or are you talking about in your area, your region of the state?
I'm president of Texas Fire Marshal Association, and it's come up there in several open forum discussions, and wanted to know where that's going. And my understanding, I think it come up in one of the chiefs' conferences, fire chiefs' conferences, as well. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but there is rumblings because they do know the change, and anybody been around a minute, you know, they've been wanting that type of certification for a long time in the state, so that's where we're at.
So has the Fire Marshals Association taken a position, or is it just still discussion?
No, we haven't taken any position of it. We're willing to accept it, but I mean, you know, obviously we want them to stay within their scope and not minimize what the fire inspector already does on his plate and all that. Don't want it to be a substitute of the fire inspector, and that's where the rules going to come in, to make sure we stay between the lines that they're supposed to stay in. And I don't know. We'll just see how it plays out.
I can't attest that it has been brought up in other committees within TCFP as well.
But the commission hasn't met to
discuss that.
Have a discussion. That's what I'm looking. I'm looking for where is the catalyst going to come from for the commission to get it on an agenda to say this is what we need in the fire service in Texas. And I think I agree that we need to hold off on developing the curriculum and all that until the commission says run with it.
And really, our ad hoc has done some work in that area because it's been pretty easy on that. Again, it falls back to the rule that's going to be the work.
Right.
And because we have had mixed direction on it, you know, initially, we didn't know what we were going to do with it and all that, but the committee still kind of moved forward knowing how the process works.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion? All right, the next one on the list is plan examiner.
That's next on the inspector ad hoc committee's list as soon as we get this inspector thing packaged up. There's really not a lot of change to it because we haven't had a new manual on that in some time. We just need to clean up our test bank and all that. Because it hadn't been touched since it separated from the fire inspector, so it's kind of a organized mess in a kind of way, but we will be revisiting that as soon as we package this other thing.
Okay. Next on our list is fire investigator.
We're sending those updates as of right now, so no other updates as of
Okay, and next on the list, hazardous materials.
So we will be selecting committee members today. We're going to review them, the list, in closed session. And then we will begin setting dates and starting the update of the curriculum.
Okay. Next on the list is driver operator. Don't think we have any updates on.
Well, Chris was working on that.
So, driver operator, instructor, and officer. Last time we agreed to look at it to see how big the changes were, whether they needed ad hoc committees. And I attempted to do that, and as we discussed yesterday, realized that NFPA is no longer indicating the changes within this new standards. So, based on our discussion yesterday, nobody knowing any other way except for line by line, word by word comparison to the new standard to our current certification documents, I will start working on those.
Okay. And that includes driver, operator, instructor, and fire officer?
And safety officer, yes.
And incident safety, okay.
Yes.
So, I'm going to get with our IT department. I know at the end of the meeting they mentioned trying to use AI to look at those differences. I'm going to see if they got anything that they know of so that can help.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
You need some help with that?
Yeah, I want to.
Sure. I'd volunteer to help with that.
Outstanding. Okay. Making some notes here. Right? Okay. So we kind of covered four items: driver operator, fire instructor, fire officer, incident safety officer. Is there anything unique to any of those others other than what you've already reported?
No.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. So next on the list, wildland.
Sure. I don't have anything at this time.
Okay. Next on the list, head of department.
We recently went through some updates on that, I believe. But other than that, I'm not aware of any new changes.
I think staff and the commission made those updates.
Yes.
Okay. Fire and life safety educator.
They have a meeting later this month to finish reviewing their curriculum and skills manuals, and those should be ready to bring to y'all at the next meeting.
Okay. Next on our list is incident commander.
We have an update to that curriculum. It was supposed to go to the commission meeting last time, for whatever reason it didn't. So that should be on the next agenda.
When is the next meeting? Does anybody? I've got it somewhere, but
May.
Yeah, is it in April?
I believe it's in
April. I think it is.
No. May 15th?
May the 15th, okay. Thank you. Okay, next item, fire marshal. Anything to report there?
We're still cleaning up some stuff in that curriculum from the consolidation, and probably by next meeting we'll have something for y'all.
Okay. Technical rescue.
We have a meeting for water coming up next month.
6th of May.
Yes, the 6th of May.
What was that?
6th of May.
6th of May. 6th of May, okay. Okay. And the last on the list, emergency manager.
Yes, so we had our first meeting here in Austin with the ad hoc committee back in February. It was well attended and it was very productive. There was a lot of discussion about proposals on how we're going to adopt the curriculum for that, and we had a virtual meeting a couple weeks after that where we followed up with some information, and passed around a few ideas, and then in I think 2 weeks ago at the EMAT conference, I did a Q&A with some of the EMAT members over what the process is as far as the curriculum development and adoption goes, and kind of how this thing surfaced, why the commission was involved in it. And we're planning another virtual meeting here in another couple weeks, and then we are trying to do maybe a Q&A at the TDM conference at the end of May. But we're still moving forward with it. We're making a lot of progress. Everybody's very actively engaged.
Do you remember about how many people are on that group? It's one of our larger groups.
I want to say like 18 people.
Yes.
Okay.
And we've got representatives from all across the state, from every TDM region, from every TCFP region, from TDM, from academia, emergency managers from metropolitan areas to very small municipal and rural areas. So we're covering the full gambit of emergency manager practitioners across the state.
Okay. Yeah, I remember took a long time to go through that list. There was quite a few applicants, and we were truly trying to cover all the different corners of the state. So that's good. Okay. Thank you for that report. All right. Item 13, subjects for future curriculum and testing committee meeting agendas. I know we've already identified a few here today, but is there anything else that we want to include that you know of now?
Did you want to go over the test question ad hoc as well at all?
Yes. Just
brief what they've gone over?
Yes.
Yes.
12.
Okay. Who's going to do that? you're asking me to do it, you'll get nothing.
We've had a couple of meetings with the new test question ad hoc committee. They've been able to go through a lot of the newer questions that we need to get implemented, as well as a lot of the feedback questions that we've had. For those listening, the feedback questions are the questions that quite literally, if y'all have a problem with it, we review it, make sure it's still valid, all that fun jazz.
I didn't hear it.
They've been doing well. We've gone through more questions in, I think, two meetings now? than we have in quite some time.
In a year and a half.
We're moving, and it's going well.
And we've gone through all the pilot questions, right?
No, we've gone through pilot questions for investigator and fire marshal, but we have not touched many of the other disciplines
okay,
yet.
Okay. I knew we had covered a large portion of that stuff, but I couldn't remember if it was everything or if it was just one or two disciplines.
We focused on fire marshal and investigator just because we had so many new questions of theirs that also needed to be approved, so we were trying to get everything for those disciplines at once.
You may explain what the test question ad hoc committee is for people that's not in this room, may not understand what you're talking about.
Well, what we have done is we have put together a small three or four person subcommittee of the CNT committee to do just that, to review questions and validate them. And the membership of that committee is going to change from time to time based on which discipline is being reviewed. For example, one of us that has an ARF background will be instrumental in reviewing ARF questions and ARF pilot questions. Same would be said of marine firefighting or hazardous materials or technical rescue. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to work in these small committees to help speed up the progress of maintaining our question banks.
Okay. Very good.
Pat.
Yes, sir.
I do have something to add as long as we're still on number 13.
I think we're actually about to reopen that one.
We're going to reopen 13. We just added on to 12.
We were on S, 12.
Oh, okay.
My sheet doesn't have 12S. I go to R. That's why I skipped it. So, okay, anything else on 12, item 12? All right, so we'll go back to, we opened it up already. Item 13, subjects for future curriculum and testing committee agendas. All right, Chief DeGear.
So at least use this opportunity to share this information with you. I don't know if it needs to be on your next agenda. Y'all can weigh in on that. The advisory committee, the last two meetings we've had, we've been reviewing rules, and one of the rules that we're in the process of reviewing right now is 423, which is fire suppression. And for the last two meetings, we've tabled it. And what we're looking at and trying to evaluate is the requirement to be a basic structure firefighter, the EMS hours listed out a handful of, I think there's seven equivalent or programs that would be acceptable. Five of them no longer exist. So in looking at this rule review, it's the impression right now of the advisory committee, although no action has been taken, but there was a motion that had been made, and we decided to not follow through with it until an ad hoc committee that we've created can weigh in. But we're looking at raising the bar right now, just so y'all know, all you need is 40 hours or the equivalent of 40 hours to be a basic firefighter. And almost every one of us here work in an organization or live in a community where really EMT is the minimum requirements to be a firefighter in today's world. As a matter of fact, in the Metroplex, I can assure you the cities of McKinney, Frisco, Plano, Allen, they won't even look at your application unless you're a paramedic. Right. The Dallas Fire Department is a fully paramedic fire department. We have paramedic engines. So we're looking at redoing that, but it obviously is going to impact some organizations. And so we want the ad hoc committee to weigh in on that. I don't know if this committee would want to weigh in on it, but I'm at least using this opportunity right now to at least advise y'all. And we could always add a couple more people to the ad hoc committee. We have five on there right now. But if you know of anybody else that would be, or anybody that's listening right now, that has a passionate view as a stakeholder, we would certainly want to hear that before the advisory committee
made that motion and passed that back to the commission for adoption. I don't know if it needs to be on the future. This is probably going to go another two meetings on our end. Okay.
I would like to suggest that we put that on our next meeting agenda so that we can discuss it and provide a recommendation from our committee to the advisory committee.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any other subjects for future C&T meeting agendas that y'all for sure want to cover? Okay. So, quick question. I'd like to take a break before we go into executive session. So should we just take the break and come back, go to executive, or go to executive and take a break? does it matter?
Take a break first.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna take a break for a bit, and then when we come back, we'll be going into executive session at that time. So we'll take a break. So go ahead and turn your mics off, please. Phones. One. Or at least if you're going to speak, turn them on. So. Is he ready? I guess we're ready. Okay. All right. We are returning from break. It is 10:34 a.m. on April 3rd, 2025. And at this time, the Curriculum and Testing Committee will go into a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss test development, IFSAC issues, personnel matters, and review of test questions under Agenda Item 14. The committee requests that all non-committee members leave the room except for curriculum staff and Holden Winger. And I guess we're good with that. So, all right, we are now in executive session.
Turn your mic on.
All right. It is 10:58 a.m. on April 3rd, 2025, and the Curriculum Testing Committee is ending the closed session of the meeting. So at this time, we will go back and resume our agenda and our regular meeting. So we will go to agenda item, agenda item 4, discussion and possible action on hazardous materials ad hoc applications.
I do believe we will need a motion to open that back up.
Make a motion, we open the meeting back up, returning from executive session.
Just item 4.
Item 4, if you will, to be sure.
Well, we gotta lengthy. We got to do structure also.
Yeah, it's going to be a separate motion to open up that separate item.
With all these motions, I'm getting sick. I'm sorry, but okay. All right.
I second the motion.
Second by Chuck. All right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right. So now, item 4, discussion and possible action on hazardous materials ad hoc applications. All right. So we looked through the list of applicants. And these include individuals that have been serving on the ad hoc committee. We had some people reapply, and then we had some new folks added as well. And so our total membership is, what did we get, 11? Yeah, we came up with 11 members. So I will read the names, and then we'll need a motion to accept those members. So I'll just read from the list here. Bernadette Garcia from Harlan, from LaSalle County Fire Rescue. Cameron Ball from Lubbock Fire Rescue. Gregory Higgins from Tarrant County College, John Nichols from Austin Fire Department, Martin Nunez from Midland Fire Department, Brett Stork from Dallas Fire Department, Butch Hayes from Harris County Fire Marshal's Office Hazmat Team, Kip Hilgers from Fort Bend County Fire Marshal's Office, Nathan Zaleski from Austin Community College, Richard Lawhorn, Harris County Fire Marshal's Office, and Scott Kerwood from Hutto Fire Rescue, Williamson County Emergency Service District Number 3. And that's our list that we discussed at 11 members for hazmat.
Motion to accept list.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor of appointing those members to the hazmat ad hoc committee, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Very good. Thank you guys for taking time to study those, and thank you to all that applied. We had a pretty decent response for. All right. So we need to revisit agenda item 5. So I'll need a motion to open up agenda item 5.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So item 5, discussion and possible action on structure ad hoc applications. This was a very large group of applicants, so it did take a while to go through. Keeping in mind that we tried to balance personal or experience and also balance that with regional representation throughout the state, we did come up with, I believe, was it 13 names? 13 names. So I'm going to go ahead and read those names, and then if someone wants to make a motion for accepting after that, we can. So we'll just start off at the beginning. Michael Boyd with Round Rock Fire Department. John Kuhn from Midland College. Lee Godbold from Azle Fire Department. James Perdome from Grand Prairie Fire Department, George Malone from Collin College, Christopher Perez, Laredo Fire Department, Patrick Murphy from Rowlett Fire Department, Jason Barnes from Harris County Fire Marshal's Office, Patrick Mahoney from Baytown Fire Department, Gary Stout, College of the Mainland, James Serrano, Sugarland Fire Department, Joe Hernandez, San Antonio College Fire Academy, Samples, I missed his first name on my list, Walter. Walter Samples from Midlothian Fire Department is the last on the list. So, folks, there's your list. I'll entertain a motion if so desired.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Louis, second by Chuck. All right, so all in favor of accepting these 13 names to serve on the Basic Firefighter Ad Hoc Committee, indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Very good. All right, congratulations to those members. You've now entered a grand amount of work. And thank you to all the others who applied. Like I said, we had quite a few applicants to go through, and I appreciate everyone's interest in trying to help out. All right. Next on our list is meeting adjournment. If anyone wants to make a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All right. So we have a motion to adjourn. We have a second.
Second.
All right.
I'd like to discuss it.
Well, okay. Start talking.
Let's get out of here.
So those who made the motion and second clearly want to go home first. Okay. So, all right. So All in favor of adjourning our meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Folks, I really do appreciate all that you do for the committee, and this was a good meeting. My special thanks to staff for getting everything in order and staying on top of things and keeping track of all the activities that are going on with these 18 different disciplines that we have. It's a huge task, and I sincerely appreciate y'all's efforts. With that, we are adjourned.